Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to No Fight Note Radio Show. It is your host, Jay Boogie. Usually I would say broadcasting from his home studio is my boy Jesse Lives, but Jesse Lives is not on the line yet, so that just leaves me. But either way, we are we've got an incredible show tonight. So we have Tall Paul coming on tonight, and I've known Tall Paul for several years now, and he's from Nashville, and he comes into a bar that until recently I used to frequent often because of the bartender staff there, but that has all changed, so I no longer go to that place anymore. Actually, honestly, I went once after everything went down, and I didn't like it, so very upset with the quality of, you know, service and quality of food. It was really weird. It's like everything just dropped off the map. But either way, that is that. So while I get a hold of my awesome co-host, we are going to put a song on real quick and see if I can get in touch with him, and we will get the show on the road this evening. Let's see.
Hello, boys! I'm
back at it, the underdog of this rap shit. Little fingers to them fuckboys, they counted me out quick. I'm flirty with the flow, like a piss day mattress. Potato on the snowy, then I let them all have it. Him and he came before, but you can truly match it. If you play with high five, you get burnt from the matches. Murder everything I spit, body bag in a casket. Premeditate the whole killing, homie, I'm just that sick. No masking, take this mind, I ain't asking. Fuck fashion, no swag, no classes. Any motherfucking beat, and I'm a freestyle phenomenon, I'm a motherfucking beat. When it comes to this music, came with everything in me. Solid with the business plan, like you always supposed to be. Ain't no fuck shit from no dumb bitch. Get to dumping quick with that dumb spit. Yeah, dump it to the double, baby. Looking for some trouble, baby. Punch you dead up in your mouth, crying like some fucking ladies. Just a product of the 80s, glass pipes, crack babies. Living life be crazy, that bullshit just so basic. Rougher than a gravel road, sharp rocks and potholes. Attitude all fucked up. He a real asshole, but fuck how they be feeling. Cause you dealing with a villain that lyrically be killing anyone that's in their feelings. Yeah, rats said he be swilling, just the body said they cheering. Keep the door with the flowing, like he's burning down the building. My barbecue and grilling, detrimental when I'm yelling. Like he's dropping in the ceiling, just waiting for the drilling. No remorse for how they build them, talk like pussies when I kill them. Bad hand is what I deal him, you won't work him, I'm just killing. You fucking with the real men, be too bad like you've been stealing. Trying to match up with the skill, when you lacking what I'm feeling, huh? Back at it, back at it. Back at it, back at it, back at it. straight shooter, man, and I don't need a hate. Multiple shots, yeah, till they disintegrate. Playing like I'm being great, homie, I don't need to chase. Flights out of town, landing in a different state. Flying 80 plus while bobbing down the interstate. Hold on, grab the mic and then I'll rock the stage. That's what I came for, don't you forget the name. He's the last of red from the very tippy top of this. Now, no metropolis, bring the hip hop in this. Ain't no stopping this, non-stop rocking shit. No matching how he grind, boy, you can't knock his fit. Colder with the flow, and you can tell me from the polar bit. Yeah, R.E. to the dub, baby, hard etiquette. From the 907, colder than a fucking witch's shit. In a brass bra, I bet you could relate to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, Jay Boogie, and with me, calling in from his home studio because for some unbeknownst reasons, his computer is acting bullshitty today, is my co-host, Jesse Lives. Jesse, say hello to everybody.
What's up, everybody? Yeah, my computer's acting bullshitty today. I don't know why. You know, it's temperamental. You know how it goes. Shit, damn technology. And
stupid bullshitty computer.
I know. I don't know what the problem is. I'm saying, shoot, for as much money as it costs, the shit run itself.
So, what has been going on,
good, man?
We haven't had a show in a couple weeks, man. Like, how are things?
Things are good. It's been a very educational and humbling month for me, man. I can't complain, man. I'm a better man today than I was yesterday. So, hey, I'm good.
Well, good. Good. Well, I got unfortunate news earlier in the week. My grandfather went to the hospital, and apparently they had to put a stent in.
They had to
go back in and do a bypass, and then they found something on his kidney, and they believe it to be cancerous. So, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just, filling in everybody into the real time.
Well, at least they found it.
Huh?
I said, well, at least they found it, though. You know, at least they found it early and why it was correctable. You know what I'm saying? So that's always a plus when they get out ahead of it. So it's not even a Debbie Downer. It's a blessing because it's fixable. It's fightable, you know.
Well, I mean, Grandpa's been in failing health since my grandmother passed away 2 years ago. You know, you know, 50 some years with somebody, you know, and just one day they're not there anymore. It's not the same thing, you know. And I was speaking to a coworker about the situation today because we ride together, you know, we were talking about the subject and everything. And he said that he watched, friend's parents, maybe I want to say it was, and like the dad died, and then within like 2 weeks, the whole time she was taking care of him and everything was fine. And then he passed away, and then in 2 weeks she just fell apart, and she had passed as well, so it's
It's hard when you lose your reason. You know what I'm saying? I think we take that for granted. You know, like a lot of times people be our reason for even existing, and then we lose that, then we lose our own purpose. So I think that's completely understandable.
So,
you know,
tomorrow.
Least, I mean, that's a strange love, though. Like, when you think about that, like, to care about somebody that much that you can't be without them.
Right.
That's a deep thing.
Yeah, I hope my girlfriend dies right after I do, because, you know, I hope I take the will.
You're going to be in heaven, man. Shit, like, God
right.
damn it.
She might as well hurry. Come on, because I'm going to haunt her ass anyways the whole time. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, die already. Like, you know, she's going to be, like, eating. She's going to be eating healthy by the time she gets older or whatever. And I'm like, start eating cheeseburgers again, woman. Shit. Let's get this over with.
Right.
Get you a bacon right. sandwich and go. Let's call
you know you like that bacon. Come on.
I'm trying to be with you again. That's a fucked up way of looking at it, but it's kind of funny. I love you, honey. Thank you. Okay. She's over here behind me. So, yeah, that being said, yeah, so tomorrow I'm going down to Alabama because obviously we don't know what how severe the situation is, but he's in the hospital, so we're going to go down there, you know, spend some time with him and make sure I don't pass up the, you know, last opportunity to see him, you know, because he's going to have surgery and, you know, if he pulls through one thing, you know, there's recovery for him and everything and, you know, his elder state, you know, he's already, you know, doing a whole bunch anyways. You know, it's not like he moves around a whole bunch. So, you know, it's a lot for one person to undertake, especially at his age. But, so we're going to go down to see him and then, you know, other things, you know, an event is happening because my mother was just up here with my nephew. So she's back in Alabama. So my brother's heading up from Florida to get him so mom can handle the situation, you know, with her father. So I'm going to drive down there tomorrow and meet up with him. And we together are going to go see our half-brother, Shannon. And the three of us haven't been together since our biological father passed. I think that was 2008.
Dang.
That was the last time all three of us were together in one spot. So.
Oh, okay. Speaking of family, was that your son that I seen you in the pictures with the other
no.
day?
No. No, that was my nephew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my
yeah,
mother.
Hey, bro, your family genes are fucking strong, bro. Like, for real.
Yeah. And ironically, he's a dead ringer for my brother. Like, no bullshit. You see a picture of my brother, like his dad, like, you're like, oh, yeah, that's totally his son. Like, no fucking doubt about it. And then, yeah, and then me and him favor a lot. And then even our half-brother, like, you get the three of us together, like, you can see the family similarity. We got a half-sister as well. I mean, you can tell it in her, too, you know. So
that's some strong fucking genes. You can't deny your kin for real at all.
Yeah. Yep. So the only difference between me and my brother is my brother Josh anyways is that my parents weren't married when they had him. So mom still had her previous husband's last name. So him and my half sister that I was raised with, they've got the same last name. And then I've got my other father's children's last name. You know, ironically, no, I have another half brother named Jason, and I didn't meet him until our father died. Like, I met him at the funeral. First time I ever saw him.
Wow.
And it wasn't like till months prior to that I even knew I had a half brother, Jason. So, yeah.
Now that's wild.
Yeah. So I didn't meet him until I was, you know, fucking 21, something like that. Like, the fuck? So, but since then, me and my brother Shannon, he's the one I'm going to go see when I hook up with my brother Josh. Ever since our father died and, you know, advancements in technologies and how they keep up with people and, you know, keep in touch with people, me and him have become really close. You know, every time I go to Alabama, I try to shoot the extra hour and go see him too. So, And like I said, you know, been years and years since all four or all three of us were together again in one spot. So,
but that's cool. That's always cool. Because, I mean, at least when you spend a lot of time apart, it's appreciated when you do get to catch up with with your brethren and your sister.
Yeah. So I know you don't know Tall Paul because it's been a while since I invited the guest because, if everybody remembers correctly, we came back from New Year and Jesse had the first 6 months of the year booked up. So I've got one. And this guy's name's Tall Paul, and he is an absolutely incredible artist. He's a really cool guy to see live, and he is just like a Beach Boys-y type. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just kind of – he's just one of those mellow dudes. He's always in, like, a tie-dye shirt. You would think it's, like – kind of music you hear in Hawaii, I guess, you know, just like it's on a damn ukulele or something. You know, it just is a really, you know, Jimmy Buffett vibe. Thank you. Thank you, co-host Danielle. I'm thoroughly excited. I know you have a wide range of, music that you like as well as me. So, I hope you get to enjoy this. I know we haven't talked much in the last couple of weeks just because we've been kind of – it's a little vacation for us because we've been hard at it all year. So,
yeah. It was weird. Like, it was like a de facto vacation that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. We're like, 2 weeks off. Sweet. Awesome. I saved 2 hours on Friday. Well, what am I going to do on that, you know, with that 2 hours now that I've gained in my life? Thank you again, co-host. Drinking.
Telling all you never right.
Drinking is what we did with that extra 2 hours.
I'm excited because the one thing about classic, because I mean I checked him out and he had, to me it was like this shit sounds like classic rock. That shit always plays well. So
yeah,
I was like, This is dope. I look forward to hearing because these are stories I don't get to hear. So I'm really excited.
And I'm sure he's got tons with him. He's done. You know, he has very under the radar illustrious career. If you get what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. You know, but just to know him and to watch him at his shows and just see him at a little bar gig. You know, and just you have that personal ability with him. He's such an incredible guy, and I can't wait. And as a matter of fact, I believe it's just popped up on our dashboard here that our Artist of the Week has called in. So let's check this member out right here, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. Paul, you there?
I am here, man.
Hey, buddy. What's up, dude?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man? I'm glad to finally be doing this with you, man.
Man, I am too. We've talked about it for so long, and we never got around to actually linking up and doing it. And then finally, you know, I was like, we're doing this. And then, boom, then that's when I checked that schedule. And I was like, wow, okay, well, we're 6 months scheduled out already. So we'll put you on the list here, buddy, and we'll just do it, you know. And, it's finally the day has come, man. I'm super, super excited, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
With me broadcasting from California is my co-host. His name is Jesse Lives.
What's up, man? Nice to meet you,
Paul.
Yeah, man.
How's it going? I'm glad you're here. Glad you finally made it.
Yeah, it feels good to be here.
Man, so man. Let's just jump right into it, Paul. Like, you know, so what start? I ask this of most of the artists I have on the show or whatever, and it's always just an incredible story. So I want to hear yours because I've got such an attachment to you and your music and memories that we've had, you know, at Wild Wing / Daddy Max and stuff like that. And Kim, you know, the number one favorite bartender of all time. what got you into music, man? Like, what was your – there's, you know, some sort of incident or, you know, something that happened that just clicked. You said, you know what, boom, this is what I want to do. This is cool.
Man, I was heading down this road from the time I was born. You know, I was a kid, and my dad would sit in our basement and play piano, and he played by ear. So, like, I'd watch him, you know, and he's just sitting at the piano. There's no music in front of him, and he's just playing songs he heard on the radio. And so, you know, as soon as I was big enough to climb up on the piano bench, I just started playing notes, you know, and fortunately for me, I was blessed with the same kind of musical ear to be able to hear things and figure out how to play them. So I started playing piano real early, and then they started, gave me some lessons, and I kind of hated that crap, you know, but I took lessons because I wanted to learn, you know, why the piano worked the way it did. I was real curious. So I was a keyboard player, started being in bands in about eighth grade, and played all through high school in bands, still playing keyboards. And I went to college, and during my freshman orientation, I got to see Doc and Merle Watson, who was a father and son, kind of folk Appalachian folk music duo. Two guys, you know, just playing acoustic guitars and running the stage. And it was amazing to me to see, because I didn't know you could do that on acoustic guitar. You know, I mean, to me, I grew up listening, you know, like Jesse said, I've been a classic rock guy. You know, I mean, I grew up, I was lucky that my parents let me go to see all the rock bands. And, man, I was a big fan of all these guys that could really play electric guitar, you know, Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy Page, you know, Jeff Beck. I was into all that stuff. And then I see this old blind guy and his son playing acoustic guitars, and I was like, how in the world are you doing that? You know, so I got an acoustic guitar and drove my college roommate insane playing 12 hours a day. And the next thing you know, I graduated from college and said, I'm hitting the road. Here we are.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. And just all just linked in together, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I really had no other choice. I tried other stuff, you know, but my heart was always in music.
What have you tried? I want to hear this. What other ventures has Tall Paul tried that didn't pan out?
Well, when your name is Tall Paul, obviously you're taller than the average guy. And so my dad played basketball. He played for Navy. When he got out of the service, he signed a contract with the Lakers. And they were still in Milwaukee, and there was really no money to be made. So after just a brief time, he left basketball, and he went back to Cleveland, Ohio, where he was from, and took over a construction company with one of his childhood friends. But secretly, you know, as the NBA became a thing and there was money and, you know, stuff started really happening, he wanted that for me. And I gave it a shot, man, but I didn't have the drive. I didn't have the skill. My heart wasn't in it.
Right.
You know, telling Dad the first time that I, you know, was not going to be on the basketball team anymore, that I was going to start playing music, it crushed him for a minute, you know, but then he saw that I really did love what I was doing and that I was pretty good at it and getting better all the time. And he was eventually very proud of me, you know, but there was a minute there where he didn't understand what I was doing, but I had to follow my heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the best way to go in life, you know. Be happy in what you do because, you know, you spend so much time doing it. Yeah, you know, you've got to be happy in it.
Yeah, so, and, you know, like I rolled the dice at some point. I was, you know, playing after college. I was playing some bars and traveling around doing the troubadour thing, and I was like, man, if I'm going to be serious about this, I've got to go someplace where everybody's serious. And I chose Nashville, and it was a brilliant decision in retrospect, you know, but I got there and I was like, holy cow, these guys and girls, they're serious. They got it. They're good. And they, you know, I had to raise my game, but it made me better and better, which is great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesse talks about that same thing all the time. Jesse is an incredible artist as well. And he talks about that same, you know, about how instead of hearing something and going, wow, you know, I can't believe, you know, I didn't come up with that, you know, think about it as, hey, that's just going to make me you know, do that much better and, you know, come out with this and use that as a – oh, Jesse tells it better. Jesse, you can chime in here anytime you want here, buddy. It's...
Oh, no, I'm just really just engaged in the conversation. No, it's just really what he's talking about is that because there's that thing that there's – some people have envy, right? And then some people have admire, which inspires them. So for me, I'm always – when I'm like, fuck, that motherfucker's talented – It inspires me because, one, it shows me, well, damn, I didn't even see the game in that way, or I didn't even see music in that way. So now it gets my wheels turning. And so that's what just for my journey as an artist, that's what I realized, that you can see the artist that envy it, and then it doesn't become, because like music, I feel like if it's not feeding me in a way, like feeding my spirit in a way, then why would I be doing it? Like, I thought this thing was supposed to be fun. So when I hear my artists talk about how stressful the business is and stressful the game is, it's like, okay, obviously you didn't get in this shit for the right reasons, did you? So that's really where I'm coming from with it. I want to be inspired by shit. I want to be amazed that, like, when I hear that, you know, you're a keyboard player, that's something for me. I'm sitting here next to a keyboard. I've always wanted to be able to play it, but for some reason, my brain isn't just wired to do it. So I'm using just two fingers. Okay, that sounds cool. So anybody that could just run the scales, I'm just sitting here just like, damn, you don't know how lucky you are because, if I could conk you in the back of the head and take that from you, I would take it. So I always admire those that can do things that I cannot do because I understand how hard it is to even do it or just to have the discipline and things like that because as a musician, people don't really realize how much practice and focus it really takes to be any kind of decent. So,
that was a very eloquent way of saying exactly how I feel about things, man. I really feel like it's not a competition. You know, if I hear somebody really good, like you said, man, I want to figure out how can I make somebody feel the way I'm feeling right now after hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's mm-hmm. brilliant. That's exactly how I feel. You know, it is very, like, I hate the word competitive, but, you know, there's always people striving to do their best. And that's a good thing, but when you know, if you let that take over, that's a bad thing.
Right. Well, I couldn't compete with you anyway because your drum is always going to be different than mine. Your voice is always going to be different than mine. So
yeah,
that's where,
right.
Like, I never could understand the competitive part because me and you are always going to tell two different stories. So why am I competing with you? No, really, I want you to tell your story better. So, because the way you tell your story might change the whole way I look at music and how I tell mine. So that's why I've never got the competitive part of the music business. But that's just me. And I've sat in tour vans and had arguments for states about why it doesn't make sense. But usually I find myself being the odd man out when these discussions come up. But what I realize is I think some people really do get into it for the fame and the money. I was always taught the fame and money as a byproduct of just doing what you do with.
Right. Right. That's right.
So, but yeah. It's a weird thing, but I think that's what makes you awesome at what you do, is that you can look at it like that.
You know, but you're always going to be around, like, because of what you do, you hang out with people that are like-minded, so you're going to be around people that are similar in style and similar in attitude to the way you are. And that's only going to make you stronger.
True.
Yeah.
So
build a
community
around you. Say what?
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Do you believe that music is the biggest uniter of us all?
I think it's right up there. I really do believe it's right up there as one of the most important things. It elicits emotion from people. You know, you could, as a musician, when you're performing, you see people smile. You're making people smile. You can occasionally make someone cry, but it's an emotion you're eliciting, and that is a magical thing to do. And when you see an entire audience of people responding to what you do, you're doing something special. It really is magical, and I agree. It's right up there with a great, as being a great uniter.
Hell yeah. That is exactly the way it is. Magical. Music is magical. It really, really is to me. I mean, this is, and, you know, the emotions, you know, it can bring you up. It can bring you down. It can pump you up, you know, if you're in a, you know, in a pissy mood or something like that. I mean, you know, there's so many things, and there's such a place for everything, you know, at different times. And like, you know, like you said, Paul, just eliciting those emotions, you know, is just, you know, that's powerful, you know?
Yeah. I vividly remember I was still just a real rookie at guitar, you know, and I was playing for a group of people, and there was some of my friends' family were in town. We were in college, you know, and I was just playing song, whatever song I played. I saw somebody that I knew. I saw their mom like tear up, and that was the first time that ever happened to me. And I still recall feeling like I did that. I made her think about something or made her react to what I was doing in a way that was so strong. And that's important stuff.
No, that's really,
yeah.
That's really cool.
I think
you remember
more than you know.
Yeah.
What was that, Jesse?
What were you saying? I said, I think more than we know, like, we don't really realize how powerful that is, like, being the fact that you, because, like, Paul, you're right, it is magical. Like, it really is, because we can't even explain what it is. Like if you ask any real musician, or real athlete, real talented entertainer will say that, you can't even explain how the fuck you're doing what you're doing. Like, it just, this is what comes out of me. Like, I don't know where the hell it comes from. It just pops in my head one day, and then when it comes out of my mouth, it sounds like this. Or when it comes out of my fingers, it just somehow translates in this way, and I can be a million miles away from you, and somehow me and you are on the same page.
That's right.
How do you explain something like that?
And that's, everybody that's, has it's, where you hear a song, and song will take you immediately back to a spot in your history. You know, and it can be something from when you were a kid, something when you were in, you know, growing up with your friends, but there's certain songs that are always going to be able to get that emotion to come out of you. And why does it stick with you? You've heard a million songs since then, and yet you hear that one, and suddenly you're back, you know, hanging out with your high school buddies and somebody's car, you know, drinking something underage and having fun. And it immediately takes you back to that. And that's the coolest thing.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, we can experience the same thing from the same song. And don't even,
right.
And I probably would never, like, there's people you'll never meet that are literally feeling the same way you're feeling at that moment.
Yeah.
that's wild to me to think about it. Like, there's literally people you'll never even talk to ever in your life. You'll never run into it. But when that song comes on, you're both, you don't even realize you're just both in that same trance just then.
That's right.
It's trippy. It's trippy. It's almost better than drugs if you do it right.
So, Paul, what's been the most memorable thing about, you know, your career? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's been your favorite thing that you've gotten to do just because you're a musician?
This is going to sound okay, but I have made so many friends in so many different places, literally all over the world, that I would never have gotten to do if I didn't play music. You know, I mean, there's a big stage here. There's a really cool club there. There's some things like that that are highlights for me. But the most amazing thing when I, you know, look around and see what I've managed to accomplish here is I've met so many interesting people from every walk of life you can imagine. And sometimes you don't even know. Like, some random stranger will come up to me and say, dude, I've been watching you play for, you know, 10 years or 5 years or 2 weeks or even longer, who knows. And whenever I come see you, I get a great feeling, and I just want to shake your hand. That touches you, man. I mean, it's so amazing. And then to go to a show and see people that you recognize, these people come out to see you, and whether it's on a big stage or whether it's in a club or in a bar that you play every week, you know, these folks have become part of my clan. You know, they're not just some butt in a seat at a venue. These are people that have a big impact on me, and they become friends. And it helps me to realize the enormity of what I do, because I don't always know that. You know, you don't, when you're in the minute, you don't see it as a big picture. But when you've got a body of work lasting over a period of time, and you see all these people responding to it, I think those people is what really gets me the most.
Well, I can say, if you know, from a fan's point of view, like, I thoroughly enjoy, you know, watching your shows. And I know I haven't got to see you in a while. There's been a lot of drama at the spot that you play at all the time that I used to see you. I haven't been back there, but you know, but you really do, like, you put on that music and it just makes you feel good, you know, like it's and not that other music doesn't, but it just, I don't know, it's just one of those things that just, it puts you in that good vibey, you know, especially after you've had a couple drinks, just say, and you know, helps put you in the right mood as well. You just really just, and it's a happy place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know the way, but
like it's you and I are a microcosm of what I was just saying. You know, we went from being, hey, you know, I've seen you before. We wave, you wave, and we smile, and that was it. And then we have a few conversations, and we get to know each other a little bit. You know, and now here we are talking to each other on the radio. You know, it's that kind of thing. Exactly what happens on a huge scale for me, and I love that. I really do.
Oh yeah, I mean that's it's got to be an incredible, you know. I can only imagine, just, you know, the places you've been, people seeing you, and those little behind the scenes, maybe, you know, after show conversations with people, you know, and like you said, when you're getting to know these people from, you know, that area or, you know, whatever, you know, like, that's always really cool with me. There's always that wind down time, it seems like, last couple years, you know, it seems like, you know, a lot of artists like to do a lot of some, you know, shows, and then they, you know, there's like a wind down period, you know, and afterward, and it's just chilling, they have a couple drinks, you know. And, you know, they're talking with people in the crowd, you know what I'm saying, you know, especially, you know, when they're doing, you know, the bar runs or whatever, you know, they, it's just chillaxing, just talking, you know, and, you know, a lot of times it's just talking music and talking about their favorite stuff or whatever, you know, like, you know, I love this, you know, this Chris Weaver band that I hung out with, that's exactly what they did. They're staying, you know, for the weekend gig and shows at the, you know, the house they get to stay in for the weekend was right next to the bar that they're playing all weekend. So, you know, they just walk back over and then sit there and talk for 3 or 4 hours. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, incredible to get to know people and stuff like that, especially through music, you know. When you talk about that, you know, you're comparing who your favorites are and stuff like that, you know. Those were just always amazing conversations to me. And I can't, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll put on one of the songs we've got here. I snagged four songs. Just kind of picked them at random here because, you know, I think everything that you play is awesome anyways. So, I've got High Wire, Voodoo Doll, When I Think About You, and Won't Be Lonely. So, and as tradition here on No Play Note Radio Show, we always let the artist pick their first song that they want to introduce to our followers, you know, for the first time. You know, so if out of those four, what's one that you want to go? Let's go with this one right here.
Let's kick it off with Highwire.
Highwire, okay, awesome. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Tall Paul out of Nashville, and this is his song, Highwire. Stay tuned. We're going to keep this conversation rolling. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, Jay Boogie. With me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy, Jesse Lives. And we have Tall Paul on the line with us tonight. Paul, man, tell us about Highwire, man.
I wrote Highwire with a couple of buddies of mine that have our roots musically in North Carolina, where I was in college. And Mark Baumgartner and John Mabe wrote that song with me. And you know, it's just about a guy that has no other choice but doing what he's doing, man. You know, moving forward and keep steady and don't look down. One of the cool things, I'm listening to that track, and you know, I don't listen to my live records very often, but listening to that track, and it occurred to me that the two guys sing in harmony with me. One of the guys is named John Randall, and John Randall, after Pandemic, released an album of acoustic songs with Miranda Lambert, and the guy singing the high part is the bass player for the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Lucky bastard.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's one of the weird things about Nashville, you know. Your friends could be, your neighbor could be, you know, who knows.
That is absolutely incredible. That's pretty cool. I was going to ask you what, you know, who's the, you know, some of the people maybe that you've met, you know, over your career, if you wanted to name drop a little bit, if that was allowed or.
Well, one of the cool things that I've gotten to do in the last several years is do shows with Jimmy Buffett's band. They call themselves the Coral Reefer band, and I've gotten to do this thing where we would play an entire Jimmy Buffett album from front to back, and I would get to use all the members in the band, and you know, getting to know those guys. You know, Mac McAnally is one of the greatest songwriters of our era, doing, you know, sort of country and acoustic music, and all the people in the Coral Reefer band are just great musicians. One time doing that event, we got to play in front of Toby Keith, and he was hysterical. And this event was in Key West, and he had so much fun. He got off stage, you know, and there was a green room, and everybody was, you know, chatting and drinking and having fun. And he's like, well, let's go out and see some people, you know. And he went around Key West and sat in with everybody that night. He was just having so much fun. You know, and here's this guy, a superstar, you know, and he's just going around Key West and sitting with everybody, and they, you know, for about 5 or 10 minutes, he would rule the roost, and then he'd have a drink and go on to the next place, and the stories are still being told about that night. So that's cool. You know, Kenny Chesney started in East Tennessee, where I play a lot, you know, and when he was kind of starting out, he would go out and see everybody that was, you know, drawing a crowd. And he would come to see me play, you know, and it's kind of cool to see him hanging out in Key West, you know, riding his bike, trying to look incognito, and give me a wave, and I give him a wave, and off he goes. So things like that happen.
That's absolutely incredible. Wow.
Yes, it is. I think we forget, because underneath all that, he's just Kenny. Like, we see the person as something, but to them, I'm just me. Like, it's a weird thing that we forget these awesome people are still human beings, because we just see
that
you can't be from this planet, you know what I mean? So
right. It's that pedestal effect, you know? You see them like, oh, my God, they're so cool. They're so awesome. And really, they're just people, too. Like, these people go out and, you know, they have cheeseburgers and fries every once in a while, and, you know, they have some drinks, and, you know, they do their thing. They go to their friend's house and, you know, BS around and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
And you know,
I'm still tripping out that. No, is it true, Sam?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I said, I'm still tripping out that you had the bass player from the Doobie Brothers. So I'm going to give you a Jesse Liz trivia fact. The Doobie Brothers are, I grew up on them. So that's one of my favorite bands of all time. So that's just, like, mind-blowing that you were just in the presence of any of them in real life.
this guy's name is John Cowan, and he kind of rose to national popularity in a band called the New Grass Revival. They were probably one of the very first jam bands. Before there was even the name jam band, you know, they were kind of doing that, and he played bass, and he's got this amazing high voice. It's an incredible instrument. You know, he's a great bass player, but his vocal instrument is one of the most amazing instruments in the world, you know, and as the Doobie Brothers have, you know, morphed into different, you know, different factions, and sometimes this guy's in the band, sometimes that guy's in the band. But John's been in the band, I think,
right,
15 years now or so, and all those cool high parts. That's John Cowan, killing it.
Wow. See, that's just epic to me. Like I said, how would you ever know that that's a band that I – now, I'm a kid, you know, I'm from the inner city, so hip-hop was everything, though. So I was that guy, like, what the fuck are you listening to? Like, so I started to get that from my friends. So it's just awesome. Like that's what I mean about music. Like, I just – literally met somebody who is associated with one of my the bands that shaped my music palette. That's
you know, but to go back to what you
place.
Said earlier, you know, when no matter who it is, when you're sitting in somebody's room or sitting backstage or whatever, and everybody gets their guitars out or their bass or whatever they play, you know, and you start playing, that interaction, it doesn't matter. You could be the guy next door, and you could be the guy that just got off the big stage. You know, you're listening, you're interacting. It's a language that you speak. And the guy next door might blow your socks off but he's just your neighbor. He doesn't even, he has no aspirations to get out and play on the stage. But you meet some cats that can freaking play, but they don't want to be in a band. They don't want to leave their family. They don't, you know, whatever. It's a great equalizer, you know, and it doesn't matter how many millions of people you play for, how many records you've sold. If you're just sitting around somebody's front porch, you know, with your instruments and making some music, you're all the same.
That's true. The most talented people I know don't want nothing to do with music.
Right.
Like, that I've ever heard in my life don't want nothing to do with it. Like, there's a buddy of mine, he actually helped me get in the business. And if you break up music, he'll just say, I don't make music no more. I'm retired. I don't want, I'm just a dad. Nope. Like, he will adequately go into this whole, like, it's almost like it makes him, he's allergic to it. It's funny to watch him do it because he's just one of the most God-gifted, talented people I've ever met in my life. But so that is true. It's funny. You know what? His name is Jason Smith, and we called his stage name is Smitty Grant. Yes, I did that. And you're gonna be mad at me, but yes, you are one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life. There you go. I put you out there. Yeah, I mean, really, that's just not his thing. He just, I just decided I did.
Something
I
did.
Yeah. Hello?
Where'd everybody go?
I heard a bunch of stuff going on.
I think everybody
was
waiting for somebody else to say something. I need to get a studio.
That was
a people in studio so we can see each other's, you know, cues to, you know, say something else. So, but it happens every once in a while because everybody's trying to give everybody time to speak and all this stuff. So,
right.
But Jesse, you've got any questions?
No, I just, you know what, truthfully, I would like to hear more stories just about your experiences, just, you know, playing shows and meeting people and things like that, because to me that's amazing, because that's shit I aspire to do. So any cool music story you want to tell us about or share with us, I just want to hear it. It would be great.
All right. I was in college and I had an uncle who was 5 or 6 years older than me, you know, but he was my uncle, but he was almost like my brother, you know, and when I was a kid playing keyboards, he was already the guitar player, you know, and he lived in Virginia Beach, and he was a surfer dude, and he had a Woody's Jeep. Yeah, he was just the cool dude, you know, like he was my uncle, but I idolized him, you know, and then suddenly I come home from college, and I'm playing guitar, and, you know, suddenly he and I were on the same kind of plane. Now we're playing the same instrument, and I was playing kind of as well as he was in a relatively short amount of time. And so I'm home visiting, and he said, I'm going to go take you to a concert. And I was like, okay. And he said, you probably never heard of these guys, you know, but you're going to go, and you're going to dig it. And I trusted him. So we go, and we're at a high school, like a football stadium or something like that, the band that he was going to take me to see, there was an opening act, right? And he said, the opening act is this girl, and she plays guitar. And, you know, I'm a kid. I don't know any better. I'm thinking, oh, girls don't play guitar. And then Bonnie Raitt walked out and kicked our ass, right? And she was so good. And she was playing slide guitar, and she was killing it. And she had this bass player dude that had this head of black curly hair. He was funky. And then all of a sudden he walks over and he plays bass on a tuba that was standing up on a stand. It was just, it blew my mind, right? And then they were done, and I'm just going like, how is anybody going to follow that? And then Little Feet walks out, and I didn't have any idea who they were. And it was just the most amazing thing. It was soulful. It was rock. It was New Orleans. It was New York. It was every kind of music, and this gigantic human being, Lowell George, had on some white overalls and was playing slide guitar and singing just like crazy good stuff. And, you know, I was thinking I was, getting to be a pretty decent musician, and then I see these guys, I'm thinking, I got a shit ton of work to do, man. You know, I got to get to work. So you know, I get on the road and I start playing. And then about maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I don't know, I was in Key West and I'm playing and I had a night off and I'm at a bar and I see this guy eating an ice cream cone. And I'm like, that looks like the bass player that played with Bonnie Raitt when I was in, you know, college. And I walked up to him and I said, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but is your name Freebo? And he looked at me and said, yeah. And we just started talking. And, you know, it's like, here's this guy that had done everything. Been out with everybody, you know, toured with Bonnie Raitt for years and years on all of our albums. Just an amazing cat, good songwriter. And we're just talking, you know. And he's like, what do you do? I said, I live in Nashville. Who do you know? We knew some of the same people. Cat invites me to sit in with him the next day. I mean,
wow.
On a meeting in a bar while he's eating an ice cream cone. And I get to sit in with this guy the very next day. And we became friends, and I had him play in my band. Very, very special guest, bass player. And then he would do an acoustic thing in the middle where he'd play some of his original songs. You know, it's just weird. You know, it's like kismet. You know, things just happen because you get out in the world. And there I was, you know, sitting with this guy that I've idolized, and only because he happened to be at this show.
That's pretty awesome.
Wow.
I can't imagine meeting one, you know, somebody that I idolize, you know, just in the casual. Holy shit, there's such and such. That's, hey man,
yeah.
What's up? And then becoming friends with him, like. That is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and ironically, it really is that easy.
Well, it is, and Nashville is one of the few places where, well, a lot of big stars, you know, because they live there, they'll go out, you know, they'll go out to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee and just sit around, you know, and for the most part, actual Nashville people will leave people alone. They might wave, you know, give you a little nod, and they'll nod back. But for the most part, they'll leave you alone, you know. But that doesn't happen like in bigger places. You know, people have a, you know, they have to have an entourage or they have to have security or whatever. But Nashville's still pretty cool. You can see people out having dinner, and you know, mostly they get left alone.
That's pretty cool, man.
That's
awesome. I want to, absolutely, man. I can't imagine meeting somebody that I idolize, you know, in a, you know, just in a casual fashion like that, you know. That's pretty dope. And it's cool to hear that Nashville's not so hyped up that, you know, people are just, you know, running people over to say hi on a constant basis, you know what I'm saying, get an autograph or something like, you know, it's just, no. You know, we leave the artists alone, you know, because they're, you know, they're at home, so they're obviously just trying to relax and chill, and you know, so that's where to stay classy.
If the artist shows up downtown, you know, all bets are off. If whoever, Brad Paisley or whoever shows up at one of the bars downtown, he's going to get mobbed. You know.
Oh well.
But
well, yeah.
You know, right. You know, but if Keith Urban and Nicole are at Starbucks having a coffee out in their neighborhood, they can pretty much be left alone.
Right. Yeah, because it's not like you don't know who your neighbor is. Like, you find out that, you know, you find out some big star buys a home, you're going to know if it's your neighborhood or not. You're like, okay, yeah, I can, you know. So, well, that's pretty cool. So, Paul, I wanted to, if we were allowed, I just want to know what it's like working with your wife. And singing with her.
It is the coolest thing that could possibly be for me. You know, we having, you know, been in a lot of different bands and also traveled all over the place solo, you know, at this point to be able to do tours with, you know, probably the most important person in my life and the person I want to spend all my time with, you know, we actually get along. And when pandemic hit and we realized that we were going to be with each other every day for a really long time, We realized we'd never been together that much before. You know, one of us was always on tour or going somewhere, and suddenly, you know, we were every day. And we figured it out, and it was great. And now the same thing, you know, we're on tour, and there's a relationship that we have where we don't really have to say too much on stage, and the other kind of understands what we're doing, where we're going. It's pretty special to be out there with someone you really, really, really care about and that you really believe in as a musician. Christy's got the most amazing voice and has developed into a really incredible songwriter. And, you know, what more could a guy ask for?
Hmm. And she absolutely, I mean, if anybody's out there listening right now, if you get a chance to see them both together, Paul is amazing by himself. If you get the chance to see them together, and I've been that lucky, I've got to see that a couple times, and then a whole bunch more times, you know, by himself. But getting them together is absolutely a magical thing. It's a beautiful thing because it's like peanut butter and jelly, like no lie.
It feels that way, man. It really does. Did you get the link I sent you to the music?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's...
Which one are you talking about here?
I sent you a Dropbox link with some songs.
Right, yeah, no. What's, is there, there's something that you're wanting me to pull real quick?
Well, I mean, whenever it comes around... one of the songs that we wrote, that we did an album during pandemic, and there's a song on there called Bottle of Whiskey, you know, and it's just as good a song. I mean, it's country enough, you know, but it's still got that soulful edge to it. Christy just knocked that one out of the park. That was her idea, you know, that song. And one of the girls that she sings with on tour, and then, And I kind of helped her finish the song, but that song was her idea, and she just killed it.
Let's see. No, I'm looking for it. You can keep talking, yeah. I mean, or Jesse, if you got a question, I'm gonna bottle of whiskey. It's in here.
The one thing I will say, I have this belief. For some reason, I've never heard a song about whiskey that sucks. You ever notice that?
I love that.
Really think about it. I don't know what it is about songs about whiskey, but I've never heard a terrible song about whiskey ever.
Well,
for the dumb stuff whiskey makes people do.
The guy I was telling you about, the two guys that sang harmony on High Wire.
Yeah.
So John Randall wrote an amazing song that is called Whiskey Lullaby. Brad Paisley,
okay.
Alison Krauss. It was a huge hit. And it is, to me, I'm getting chills just saying the name of the song. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of songs about whiskey are fun or happy, and a lot of songs about whiskey are not. But they're all good songs. I mean, they're all really good songs.
Yeah, it is, those be the weird things that you never think about. There's just certain topics that if you tap into them for some reason and you're genuine, you're gonna write a hell of a song. Regardless
I love
of
that idea, man. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is weird. This stuff I've randomly noticed, you know, because, like, in the house I grew up in, we heard everything. Like, that's one thing about my parents. They played every. Like, my mother's favorite song is American Pie. Like, that's her song. Like, so, it's just weird. And it is cool because that's the genre you're in. And when I knew you were coming on the show, that's the first thing I was like, yeah, this is, like, literally, this dude is singing my fucking childhood. Like, that's wild.
that's Danielle's favorite song that you do, Paul.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I love Kim's song.
We got this. Go ahead.
So tell me this. How have you seen, like, say since before the pandemic and now, how have you seen the Nashville scene? Has it changed in any way? Or
it took a while to get back, but I think it's fine now. There was a lot of controversy. You know, Nashville tried to open up as early as it could after pandemic, you know, and there were a few people that really tried to push the envelope, and there was a lot of, you know, sadly, the world we live in, you know, there's this side and that side. So there was a little bit of that went on right at first, but, you know, it's going. It's probably people are more enthusiastic to get out and do stuff now because they couldn't.
Right.
You know, you almost took it for granted before, and now you don't.
Right.
I mean, Nashville's rocking right now.
Right. That's cool. There's a lot of music scenes that just did not survive for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, not everybody, it made people sort of reevaluate what they were doing. You know, I had a few friends that got way more into it because they missed it and couldn't. And then I had a few friends that were like, you know, maybe this is time for me to, you know, to bow out. And I hate to see that, but it did happen.
Right. Why do you think the people that did bow, why do you think it was so, I won't say it's easy, but why do you think that was the time they chose to do it?
I it's so far from what I can imagine that I don't know. Because, I mean, I can't imagine not playing music at some level, you know, for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, you know, people say, you know, are you going to retire someday? Like, hell, then what would I do? You know, I'm going to go down kicking and picking.
I ain't mad at that. I mean, how do you retire from creativity?
I know.
That's weird to me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we as an artist, you know, of any kind, whether you're an author or a painter or a musician, you know, you've got the ability to be creative your entire life. Athletes, unfortunately, have a shorter life, you know, and,
right.
and it's got to be hard for them to physically not be able to. But even, you know, even if you're an instrumentalist, you can always play at some level, you know, and sing and write. I can't imagine not being able to.
Yeah, me either. I mean, as an ex-athlete myself, ironically, because that was my first life, I can say the thing that you miss is not even the actual playing, it's the feeling of it. And that's what ironically was cool for me coming into music, because I could find that joy in something again. So tell me this, what is your favorite music to listen to?
There's not an answer to that, man. I mean, there's a cat that lives not too far from me in East Nashville, and he's a young guy that, you know, grew up playing bluegrass and then kind of revolted for a while and started playing Metallica and then kind of got back into bluegrass. And his name is Billy Strings. If you don't know who this guy is, just check him out. He's got this band of merry pranksters. They go out and just play the craziest stuff, and it's really bluegrass based. But then you listen to these extended solos, and you'll hear you know, all kinds of rock. You know, their influences are so great, but it's still bluegrass music, and I love that. You know, and I love jazz, and I love rock. I love progressive rock. I like, you know, like as a keyboard player when I was a kid. You know, I loved all that prog rock stuff, you know, Genesis and Yes and all that stuff. And then still being a keyboard player, I loved Billy Joel and all those guys that were writing pop songs playing piano. And then when I would go to concerts and I would see, you know, Led Zeppelin, and I would see, you know, anybody. I would go to any concert I could go to. My dad took me to see Elvis when I was a little kid. You know, I mean, I want to see everything, and I just love music. And if it's done well, I don't have a style. You know, I probably listen to more acoustic-based music than I do electric,
okay.
But it's close neck and neck.
Okay. Right. So how was that Elvis experience? Because I know that's a rare experience to be able to say you've seen him in real life.
I didn't really want to go. You know, my dad said, you need to do this. You need to go. And, you know, I was a pretty young kid. And we go into this big place, and we sit down, and the band starts playing, and the crowd just goes freaking berserk, and they turn the lights off. And Elvis stands in the middle of the stage, and he had on a white outfit with a red lining on his cape. And he's standing there, and the whole place was lit up, and it seemed like an hour and a half. It was easily 3 or 4 minutes. And just people taking flash pictures with their cameras. And I remember turning around and seeing people way the hell in the back taking pictures. And I'm thinking, that picture's going to look like nothing. But they're going to be able to say that. You know? And, I mean,
right.
He had the crowd. I mean, women were swooning and throwing underwear at him. And men were going, like, I want to be him. And, I mean, I was a little kid going, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know, and then it was right up there with seeing Led Zeppelin and watching Robert Plant walk to the front of the stage, and I felt myself backing up because I mean I felt like he was right there with me. You know, I mean
right.
There were moments where you're in it, and Elvis had that ability to just you were in it, man, and he was so amazing, and. You know, later in life, I got to meet a lot of the guys that were in his band. I never got to meet Elvis, but I got to meet and hang out with several people that were in that big band that were part of his crew. And, you know, their stories were just amazing. And what a nice guy, but also what a bizarre life he had to live because he couldn't go anywhere without being mobbed.
Right. Yeah, I really can't imagine that, and on so many levels, I don't want to.
I know, me either.
That's just got to be a real moment. Like, you got to feel like you're living in an alternate universe.
Like, yep.
Like, how do you even be a human being at that point? Because you're you. Like, you're, because think about it, people literally will address you as that. Do you know who you are? Like, yeah, I know I'm me every day. Can I get my bag with you?
So I was in Nashville and I was, you know, starting to record some songs, and you know, before everybody could, you know, get a CD, I was making cassettes. That's how long I've been doing this, right? So I'm going into this little store, and what the business that I was going into, they make cassettes for you. You take them in your original recording, and they would turn them into, they would mass produce cassettes, right? And so There's a lady that would come out, and she would meet me, and she was Gloria, and there was a guy that owned the place, and his office was back there, and his name was Charlie, and I would just, you know, I'd say hi to him, and he'd say hi to me. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm getting my stories mixed up. His name was Scotty. Scotty was the owner, and this lady would come out, and, you know, I sold a lot of cassettes. I was touring around and, you know, doing shows, and I'd come in and get another order, and she'd, you know, shoot shit with me, and Charlie come out, Scotty would come out and talk to me, you know, and, you know, I just knew him. He was this older cat, you know, that had a business in Nashville. And one day I went in, and there's a poster on the wall, and it's a famous black and white picture of Elvis with his trio. And the guitar player, whose name was Scotty Moore, as a young man, and I'm looking at this poster, and I look in the door at the old dude that owned the cassette duplication place, and it's that guy, Scotty, the owner of this place, was freaking Scotty Moore from Elvis's original trio. And I said, suddenly, right? Suddenly, he's not Scotty to me anymore. I said, Mr. Moore, can I come back there and talk to you? He said, I'm still Scotty. Paul, come on back here. And, I mean, I felt my whole attitude changed because suddenly I realized this guy that I'd known for years changed music. But he was just a captain behind his desk. You know?
Right.
He was freaking Scotty Moore. And, you know, his guitar playing influenced the freaking Rolling Stones. You know, influenced everybody. You know, but he was just an older guy that, you know, didn't really play much anymore. He could, you know, but he didn't, you know, didn't want to go out and be in a band and travel, and that's hard work. So he had this little business in Nashville that did really well. I was blown away, man. I was totally blown away. And he thought it was hilarious that I was like, I'm losing words and I'm nervous. He's like, Paul, it's just me. You know, I was like, wow.
Right, no, you're not. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah,
you're
no, not to me.
You.
I haven't checked out. I just want to let you guys know that I'm in the process of giving this thing. I could not see the whiskey or a bottle of whiskey in the Dropbox folder. So I just went ahead and bought the album. So I'm currently looking for where that album went when it downloaded so I can pull that song and do that. Just to let everybody know what's going on here. But I think it's a safe time to go ahead and play another song. We've got a couple more here, and that'll give me a couple minutes to kind of go through this. So let me actually get back into the studio program here. And let's see. So I think Voodoo Doll. Jesus. Is what we'll play next here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Tall Paul, and this is his song, Voodoo Doll, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
You must have a voodoo doll on me. I lie awake each night staring at the ceiling, and I never sleep. You're burning candles in the dark, you're poking pins in my broken heart. Yeah, you must have a voodoo doll on me. You must have a deal with the devil himself. Well, you told me that you loved me, but you left me lonely for someone else. Only a soul that's compromised without a blink can tell such lies. Yeah, you must have a deal with the devil himself. Yeah, I know what goes around comes around. I know that in time I'll be okay. Yeah, I know that hanging on just pulls me down. And I can't let go. She won't let me let go. No, 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 no. Heart. Yeah, you must have a voodoo doll on me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to No Fly Note Radio Show. And as I, your host, Jay Boogie, with me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy Jesse Libs. And we have Tall Paul on the air with us tonight. And it is an absolute pleasure to have you on with me, my friend. Tell us about Voodoo Doll, brother.
Oh, man, have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have not, unfortunately. I would love to go because Mardi Gras, I've got to have some Mardi Gras in my life at some point in time.
Well, down there, voodoo's a real thing. And you don't want to piss off anybody down there because things might start hurting and you don't know why. I had the cover of that cover of that album. I had a girl make a voodoo doll that looked like me. And the guy that was going to do the photography for the cover said, "Now I'm going to need this thing for like 2 weeks." And I was like, "You better take care of it." Cause I don't want some, you know, random pain because you're sticking a pin in my voodoo doll.
Right. So I just want to interject here just real quick. Sorry, Jesse, you can ask a question. If you guys hear extra background noise, I'm going to apologize. It is an absolute beautiful Friday evening, and I just moved all my crap outside to sit on my back deck. I'll keep it muted for the most part, so there's not so much, but if you hear extra stuff, that's why. So I can't miss out on this beautiful evening. It's absolutely gorgeous. So, plus I'm a smoker and I want a cigarette. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I sincerely apologize for interrupting. Jesse, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to ask you, since you've seen all these epic people perform, what is the most epic performance that you saw? Hey, say that five times fast. Yeah. What is the most epic performance that you've seen in your life?
Wow. Can I pick a couple?
Hey, it's your show. I want to hear them all. So Pokemon to me. Tell me them all.
Seeing Tom Petty. He did a tour, I don't know what year it was, where they had this gigantic tree in the middle of the stage. You know, I saw that tour, and it was a big production, and it was beautiful, and the band was kicking ass, and it was just brilliant. And I love that, you know. But at the same time, I went to a bar in Cleveland, Ohio one time to see this young up-and-coming dude that everybody was talking about that hadn't, you know, really done much yet. And it was in a little club, and dude's name was Prince. And, you know, there was probably maybe 800 people. It was small for him. But he was new, right? And the intensity of that was just palpable. You know, to see this young guy just so confident, to not really have a name yet. But he was, in his mind, it didn't matter because he already was who he was. You know, he already saw the future for what he wanted this to be. And he was just there to convince the rest of us that this was going to happen. You know, and I mean, I've seen all the big light show. I saw one of my favorite big bands was Yes. You know, and I saw them when they had all the spaceships and shit on stage and lasers. And I mean, I saw all that. It was great. And the show was great, you know, but, you know, seeing a pared-down version of anybody at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, which is a 2,500-seat palace to the music genre, you know, and it's one of the coolest venues probably in the country of that size, you know, and people realize it's magic in that building, you know, and everybody wants to play there. So you'll see some really big acts, but they get to the Ryman, and those shows are magical too, but they're a lot lower key than the big stage shows with all the lights and all the special effects.
Okay. So it's almost like it makes you it's a place you got to earn it in a way. You have to be your true self there.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and to see, like, we went to see Robert Plant when he was with that Band of Joy tour. You know, and you know, Robert Plant was freaking in Led Zeppelin. You know, he's the man as far as rock vocals go. You know, but he got in the Ryman, and you could just tell it was, even to him, he could sense the magic. You know, when a new artist comes out for the first time, you can see their hands freaking shaking. They realize they're someplace special. You know, when it's your first time in the Ryman, there's magic there. It's kind of like Red Rocks. You know, I can only imagine what it'd be like to walk out onto that stage. You know, because it's just a magical place.
Yeah.
Here we go. We go
that's
going
a
back
big,
to,
and those are big moments.
Going back to the magic again, you know. I said, there we are, going back to the magic again. It's just that magic. It's that magical thing, you know. It's like just having, you know, that. It's just like that fairy dust, you know, blown all over you, and then all of a sudden you can fly. You know what I'm saying? Like it's that magic. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah. Because I know for me, there's just rooms that you just don't expect. I just personally just, I can't, there's certain rooms I just can't imagine playing. There's just certain stages that for some reason I can't see myself playing. And then so that's the only thing I could equate to it. Like, is this really happening? Do these people
have
even care about me? Like, no, not yet.
That's one of those places, man. I've never been on stage, but man, it's got to be magical.
Yes, it's got to be. Like it was like honestly, the biggest thing I played was a festival in Spokane, Washington, and it was something like 20,000 people.
Wow.
And it was just one of those things, just like actually walking out. Because, you know, the adrenaline's going in the beginning, so you're going. But then when you just kind of take that moment and be like, wait a minute, that's 20,000 people. That's 20,000 people. Yeah. It's 20,000 people. And so I got this song called Count the Ways, and that's when it hit me because there's a call and response. And that's when it hit me, like, it's 20,000 people. But it's not, it's like you can't wrap your head around it, but it's happening. And so that's the only thing, like, so when you step into these legendary places, I can understand why it could be so overwhelming. Because, heck, especially places where the gods of this thing have stood.
Right.
That's different. It's got to be different. I can't even imagine. True.
When I first moved to Nashville, the Ryman was just it was not being used, and it had kind of fallen into disrepair. And you could go in for like 50 cents and self-guided tour. And I would go in and take my 50 cents, and I'd take my guitar, and I'd go sit on the edge of the stage with my guitar and play in that building, just because I knew that, you know, all the greats of country music had been on that stage. You know, so I'd pay my 50 cents and go in and walk up on stage, and you know they had like old people that would volunteer to be like they weren't really a guard, they were just kind of like a attendant. You know, they kind of walk around and make sure you didn't mess up anything. And I get up on stage and I start playing, and they come in and stand at the doorway, and you know, like two or three like old people would be clapping after a song. I mean, it was just hilarious, right? But then you know, a few people got together. You know, Marty Stewart, Emmylou Harris, a few people got together and said, we need to make this back to what it's supposed to be. And now it's seriously one of the coolest venues probably in the country.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty dope. I wish I had musical talent to be able to have that experience of walking out on a stage, you know. But unfortunately,
I don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't wish that on yourself. You gotta understand. You are what makes it possible.
Right.
You make it possible. without you, there's nobody for me to perform in front of without people who just enjoy performing or enjoy performances, enjoy music. So you're just as big of a part of what's happening, of that moment, because you're making the moment happen. I feel like that's what a lot of artists forget. If there's no fans, there's no listeners, you don't have a moment. So don't wish that on yourself.
and especially fans that really pay attention. Like you are among the top of that too. I mean, you really care, and you got a lot of background. And you understand a lot of different styles of music, and every fan is important, but the fans that are really paying attention, they're priceless.
I love it. I mean, there's nothing better than, going out on a Friday or Saturday night or something like that and watch somebody get up on stage and just, it's kind of like letting people into your life a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like when you pour out your heart and your soul and your emotion and stuff like that, and you make that connection with somebody. I mean, especially from this side of things, it's like, and that just that awe of like, man, how awesome is that? Like, you got these people, singing and clapping and going along with you and everything like that. I mean, it's super cool. And just, like I said earlier, just watching you play is truly amazing. I like that I haven't seen you in some big thing where I couldn't even, get a hey to you. I've seen you where, it's that, you have that up close and personal, thing, because there's, there's a crowd of, 100 people in the bar or something like that. And, so it's much more manageable situation. To talk, because I'd probably get jealous, like all these people, man. Y'all know Tall Paul like I do. Get out of the way so I can say hi. That's exactly how I would be, like, no joke. Like, I was like, man, y'all don't even know him like I do. Move. Like, get out of my way. I'm trying to see my homie over here. Trying to tell him good job on the show he just did, and y'all up in my way, being crazy. Calm down. Get out of my way. It's Paul.
What do you mean?
Well, if you ever got a show, and you need some security, I got you, buddy. You need a
all right.
You need a,
to mess with you.
Some sort of bodyguard or whatever at a show. You want somebody. You just call me. I'll do it. I don't care. I think it's fun.
All right.
So, hell yeah. Well, I got, and I'm not trying to rush or anything like that, but I mean, I do want to, it's a show about music, so we definitely want to get through the music this evening.
Yeah.
I got bottle of whiskey loaded up, and I know that was something that we had touched on, we wanted to talk about, because you said it was, this is your wife's idea, Christy's idea, so I just want to, I wanted to get to that, because I wanted you to be able to have your time to talk about that, so... I'm going to go ahead and we're going to put this on and then we'll come back and we'll have that time for that, because she's obviously such an important person to you. I want to hear about that part, of your life as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Bottle of Whiskey and we will be right back with Tall Paul. Stay with us.
Remember when we first met, 3 years ago. like me, drinking yourself out of a memory. Do you even remember? Have you any regrets? Or the words I'm sorry ever passed your lips? With a bottle of whiskey, a bottle of wine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, Jay Boogie, and with me broadcasting from the studio is my boy Jesse Libs, and we have Tall Paul on the line with us tonight. And I've heard you play that song several times. I know it's one of your go-to songs, and I'm just blown away every time I hear it. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs by you, to be honest. Apart from hearing you sing Kim's favorite song, which is hilarious, this is my actual, you know, favorite Tall Paul song, I think. I absolutely adore this song.
Well, thank you very much.
What did I tell you, though? That's the first time I ever heard the song, and what did I tell you? Songs about whiskey never suck.
So, What all, tell me about going, you know, in the creation of this thing. Yeah, you know, because I'm sure that, you know, you played a role in, you know, talking with her about this song and is into what it is now. Like, is there, can you tell us about that?
It's, I can't really take much credit, man. I really can't. You know, she's been around great music her whole life. You know, and she would be in the studio with me. She's seen the process. But she's only been writing songs for a few years. And she loves to tell the story that she drank a little bit of wine one night, and before she went to bed, this chorus just kind of came to her, and she recorded it on her phone. And pretty much intact. The chorus was pretty much, it came to her in a God-sent vision, you know, whatever. And she put it on her phone, and next morning she listened to it and went, oh, this really is pretty good. And she went out on a tour with a couple other girls, a band she was in, and they started fleshing out the verses. And by the time she got home, most of the song was pretty well established. The only thing I did was I helped tighten up some of the verse structure. And then I wrote the bridge, and then, you know, helped produce the record. But I mean, this credit goes to her, and it's really songwriting is very intangible thing. You know, people say, you know, where do you start? Which comes first? The melody? You know, everybody's got a different answer to all that. But to work with someone that you really love as a person, and then to see her really blossom, her musical ideas are so interesting and so unique, so different than mine. You know, when we start writing together, she pulls me way out of my comfort zone, which is the coolest thing for me. You know, I mean, it's really fun for me to do something that is so different. And it's all new to her, so she's having a blast. And she's a wealth of musical ideas.
That's absolutely beautiful. I mean, I think other than making a baby with somebody, creating some beautiful music is just like the most wonderful thing you can do with somebody. Because I mean, I'm, you know, it's, you know,
giving someone your time, I think, is the most precious thing you can give somebody. I mean, so, like, you know, you two taking, you know, or, you know, her, you know, whatever, you know, the situation, you know, just doing that and doing that together and then just coming so, it coming out so just amazing the way it is. I just think that's just a beautiful thing to be able to do with somebody and create something so magical. To again, you know, what it goes back to, just, you know, grabbing somebody's emotions and, you know, cause that's really, I mean, that's what that kind of type of song does. It really, it pulls at the heartstrings, you know, and, that's an amazing thing.
One of the special things about that for us is, you know, when you play and write and record a song, you hope people will like it. But when you play a song for people the very first time and you can see people turning around, listening, and they're even trying to sing along, you know, they've never heard this song before. And they're trying to sing along by the second or third chorus. They're trying to sing along. And then they'll come up to you and say, where did this song come from? Have I heard it before? Who wrote it? And we'll say, you know, we did. You know, it's a beautiful surprise. Really, I thought it was, like a hit for somebody else. And that's the biggest compliment. You know, people take the time to learn a song and to sing along with a song you wrote. That's, to me, that's as much of the magic, you know, that you can really get to people like that.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, it's touching people's heart. That's the most important thing, you know, because I've said this a lot to the artists, you know, because one of my favorite things about music is following the lineage of music, you know, because there really is a trail, you know, because this band inspired this person, this group, and this, you know, that group went on to inspire, you know, so-and-so. And you can literally, you can follow it down the line there. And, you know, it's just absolutely amazing.
And to do it with someone that you care so much about is extra special.
Oh, yeah. And I relate your relationship with her to my relationship with Danielle, just because it just seems, you know, it's just so effortless. You know, you guys can work a crowd together and separately, you know, just, you know, with ease, you know, and because I've seen you both do it. I've seen you together and you're talking to people after your show and stuff like that or whatever. And then you guys kind of venture off and she'll go over here and talk to people at this table and you'll go hang out with these, you know, group of guys at the bar or something like that for a few minutes or whatever. And, but you're, you know, you know, yeah, you just, you know, just giving off that lovey-dovey vibe. And that's, you know, that's what I have with Danielle. It's just so effortless and it's so easy. And, it, you know, just to be able to spend your life with someone who's just so amazing and so wonderful and, you know, who sticks her tongue out.
We get it, bro. You love her.
Yeah, shut up. I'm just singing.
I'm just messing with you, man.
You don't see that all the time, though, man. Like, you don't see me all the time.
I know. It's lucky.
Oh, I'm damn sure lucky. I know I'm lucky. I promise you. I know I'm lucky.
Yeah, I tell everybody I outkick my coverage.
Yeah, I know where I stand and how lucky and grateful I should be for things, because I've, you know, truly got somebody amazing. And God, if we can only make beautiful music together like you do, Paul, that would be incredible.
You make all kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, Paul, we've got about 12 minutes left. So towards the end of the show, we always like to give the artist the opportunity to just talk about the most recent things they've got going on or any new albums or projects they've got either out or fixing to come out or whatever, and what you've got going on.
Yeah,
and give you a chance to plug all your social medias and everything like that. So if you want to start with that, let's see. See, when I think about you, is only a just under 3 minute song, so we may be able to pop that in there as well. But yeah, if you want to go ahead and plug your, you know, your socials and where everybody can find you at and everything like that.
I've got tallfall.com, and that's where my main calendar is. If you want to find out details about any shows, there's a link to my calendar at tallfall.com. And if you want to find our music for download or listen, we've got a Bandcamp page. So it's Tall Paul and Christy at Bandcamp, I believe, is the address. I'm not positive. And you can access my solo music, Christy's solo music, and then our new album, which is called Whiskey and Wine. Together we have whiskeyandwinemusic.com, and then we're all over Instagram, Twitter, and all that crap.
Whiskey and Wine is the one I just bought. So, is Tall Paul Christy Bobal. I know I'm messing that up.
Everybody does, man. It's Bobal, but that's fine.
Bobal, okay. Tall Paul Christy Bobal .bandcamp.com. Just so everybody's got that right.
Thank you. Absolutely. We've got a bunch of tours coming up this year. We've been to Missouri once. We're going back to Missouri. We're doing a tour the end of this month where we're going to be in Northern Virginia and the eastern part of Maryland. We'll be in Ocean City. We'll also be in Frankfort, Delaware, and Port Deposit in Maryland. That's coming up the end of this month, first couple weeks of August. In September, we are going down to Florida to do a festival in Madeira Beach. We are also playing a songwriters festival in Boone, North Carolina, which is called Antlers and Acorns. And it's a wonderful songwriting event that's hosted by the Working Title Farms folks. Our good buddy Sherry Smith is creating this wonderful endeavor, and I can't wait to be back in Boone, North Carolina to do a show. Some of the luminaries at this event will be Radney Foster and our good buddy Eric Erdman early in that week. We do a Key West week every year, the first week of November, so we'll be down there as well. We're going back to Boston in October, and there's a bunch of stuff coming up, and all the details can be found on the calendar.
Absolutely incredible. That's awesome. Okay. I mean, that's a busy schedule. And ladies and gentlemen, if you got the chance, if you got the opportunity, you know, go see them, go check out the show. They are absolutely amazing together. You will not be disappointed. And then, you know, afterwards when they're all done, they'll come out in the crowd and they'll chit chat and talk, you know, answer questions or whatever. They're absolutely wonderful people. So don't miss your chance and your opportunity to see them. So
thank you, brother, for the kind words and for the opportunity today.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, it's been a long time coming. And I want to thank you. You know, I thank you for giving. Like I said earlier, you know, the most precious thing that you can give somebody is your time. And we get artists who literally will take a Friday night and give us 2 hours of their time just to talk music and to let us in a little bit. And that's exactly what the show is all about, you know. You just get a chance to know somebody, because I think that when you can hear some stories about somebody and you can get into their life a little bit, you know, it gives you so much more of an appreciation for the music and the type of music that they sing about and that they do, you know, because I believe that we're all products of our own environments and stuff like that. And, you know, you know, different things that happen that, you know, can kind of control people into, you know, going into, you know, how they do things. And, you know, so, I mean, just thank you so much. Sorry, I kind of get rambling on there. But, you know, I just thank you for your time, man. It really means a lot to us, you know, as, you know, host of the show and stuff like that. But and what we're trying to do and what me and Jesse want to bring Note by Note Radio Show to do, you know, and this is what we live for, you know. We're, you know, and you know, coming back every week and getting to talk to other people and hear different stories, you know, it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, you blessing us with your time is, you know, the biggest factor in this whole situation right here. So, you know, thank you, Tall Paul, for you know, giving us your time today. You know, you could be doing 100 million other things, but, you know, just kick it for 2 hours with people on the phone. You know, thank you, man.
My pleasure. And Jamie, I've got two brothers that live out in California. So when I come to visit them, maybe we can hook up sometime.
For sure. Real quick. Jack.
Say again?
You know how you say you – and I'm talking to Jerry real quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know how you say you wouldn't know what to do if you met somebody that was really famous, in your opinion, that you really admired?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know what to do? Oh, that's somebody right there on the phone.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's what you would do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in the moment, that's exactly what you would do.
I do admire Paul a lot. I give him a lot of loads and loads of compliments today. Because he really absolutely is amazing. And if you get a chance to see him, you know, you know, anybody really should jump on that opportunity. And that just goes back to what I'm always saying, is that there's so much beautiful music out there that people don't know about and they'll never hear because it's not like I'm mainstream or whatever. And that's just, I just think that's sad. I think that is a travesty, you know, that people have to go through life and they don't know, you know, just because they're not on your everyday radio or they don't have some big record deal or this or that or the other, that they're not worth your time or energy to get to know them and hear their music. And, you know, because all music is beautiful to me. That's just the way I look at it. So, well,
thank you for the stories, Paul. I appreciate it. It's really good to hear from the aspect of someone that's just been in the moment and just appreciating the journey as a musician. I don't get to hear those. I even get to hear the delusions of grandeur and stuff like that. So I really appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. I look forward to meeting you someday.
Definitely.
Yeah. Jesse is he's a really good dude. So the first time I ever talked to this guy on the phone when we were talking about maybe you know, doing the show together, a mutual friend of ours hooked us up together, and we got on the phone. It was 45 minutes. We just talked like we'd known each other our whole lives and just was catching up a little bit, you know. And, you know, he's just one of those great dudes. And Jesse will make you think, too, because Jesse will ask some proverbial stuff. And you're just like, man, like, I didn't even, like, think about it like that, you know. Because like you said earlier, you know, it's a very intellectual way he put, you know, an answer to a question or whatever. And that's, you know, that's how he is. So it's a very intellectual person. If it makes you feel any better, Paul, I'm looking forward to meeting Jesse too.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe we could do that together sometime. Road trip.
That'd be a long time.
So, but again, forget. I want to say, you know, again, Paul, thank you so much for your time. It was absolutely wonderful show, and I hope that we can have you on again sometime. You know, just to shoot the shit, talk some music, and check in with you from time to time. You know, I hope you have a most wonderful weekend, and please tell that amazing wife of yours that Jeremy and Danielle said hello, and hope to see you guys again soon. Be safe. Have fun. Just want everybody out there, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Be safe out there. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, please keep your hearts open and your radios up. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.